time for a bit of an update then, Matt. We look at some of the big stories, the projects, the events and so on with RNIB, and we're going to start today in Red Hill.
Indeed, yes. So Red Hill was an old sort of college which sort of closed, and the charity decided up to 10 years ago that actually we would sell the site for development to get back from the developers a number of really high quality residential units for people that we needed to provide, you know, that sort of supported living to. So this program has been going on for some time. I first visited when I joined RNIB last summer, when it was a sort of building site, you know, the size of Wembley Stadium. And we've been putting a lot of focus on working with our partner Countryside, who are doing the development, to get it completed summer of 2020. So we can plan to move the first sort of residents back into this sort of very high quality accommodation. And I'm delighted that we were down there on Tuesday for a visit, which is the first time I've been for a bit, along with our new chair designate, Anna Tyler, and trustee perspective, Amanda Rowland, and a few of us on the programme, and had a good look round, you know, the first three phases of units, which will be released to us at the end of August, actually. And delighted to say we can sort of plan with confidence to bring people, you know, residents, move them back in to accommodation, having in some cases sort of left Red Hill for the supported living back in 2015. So for many, it will be a good few years waiting to move back in. But I'm delighted that we're now very much on plan to do that this autumn. And it was great to visit on Tuesday.
Some very happy residents, no doubt, Matt. And there has been a lot of changes, really, to RNIB's estate planned over the years.
You know, we've had a programme to transfer all our regulated services in England, which was announced around the time that the statutory inquiry was launched a couple of years ago. So really up the pace sort of through the back end of last year and into 2020 in terms of transferring and finding the really high quality partners to transfer those units to. And we are probably about halfway through that programme with a few curveballs thrown in by coronavirus, as you can imagine, but, you know, still well on the way to complete that transfer of those regulated services to new providers by the end of the year. And in the meantime, you know, putting a lot of focus on making sure, as we are still running those establishments, that we do a really good job. It's well documented, the challenges of running care homes through coronavirus. I know I've been on this programme talking about it before, but, you know, the sort of August update would be that we've still done a really good job of looking after, you know, our residents in our care homes. And, you know, during last term, that the pupils in our college and our school, when we were open for the children and sort of key workers.
On this coronavirus topic, you know, a lot of work has also been going with retailers and with the Cabinet Office as well, and a lot of positive outcomes there too.
We've talked a lot about the online delivery solution we put in place. And again, I would encourage your listeners who are, you know, have been struggling or have any challenges about getting food, particularly any nervousness about local lockdowns, certainly across the north of England, in Leicester and now around Aberdeen, I know in Scotland, you know, please get in touch. You know, we have the solution in place underwritten by Tesco and Iceland, and a few hundred people have taken advantage of that since we've had it in place, which is great. But it's still there, so people should use that. But I think, you know, that was an early example of us working very openly and partnerially with a variety of commercial organisations, you know, retailers, businesses, and also government, as you mentioned, to try and get things done to make life better for blind and partially sighted people. And the retail connection has only really got more beneficial to both parties, I think, and deepened understanding on both sides, actually, about how to work together to get things done. And I think, you know, Aldi, who were maybe the ones later retailers to sort of come to the party with us, actually have been brilliant recently in working with us, having introduced a traffic light system to give people a sort of visual sign about when they could enter and when to sort of move around the shop. Clearly that doesn't work very well for blind and partially sighted people. So we've been working for them, and they really understood that they were missing an audio element. They've now added that, and people sort of queuing outside or needing to move from stage to stage now get that audible steer, as well as clearly the traffic light system, which can work for sort of sighted customers. I think it just makes the point that, you know, retailers and others are really engaging with us at the moment, realizing that A, they need to do it now, and B, actually, you know, serving all types of customer demographic is just good business sense and great for customer service. And to your point on government, we've sort of continued good work with the Cabinet Office on our Please Give Me Space sort of social distancing indicator, which the sort of wearer can show that they might have a problem trying to maintain distance because they can't see. And that gives people a very strong visual clue that they need to sort of just, you know, support that person given the appropriate social distancing space. And that's sort of been well received by the Cabinet Office. We've had some good research done. I think, you know, government appreciate the fact when we provide research on these things, And there's a press release going out this week from Justin Thomason, the Minister for Disabled People, about this as a solution for people moving about society.
I suppose it's a bit of a strange thing to say, but probably the coronavirus situation has brought forth a lot of positives and probably some new connections as well.
And we've worked on operational guidelines for many retailers now, household names of Tesco's, M&S, Sainsbury's, IKEA's, Aldi's of this world, to great effect. But because society is opening up in other ways, we've been working with the hospitality trade, pubs and restaurants, and places like gyms, actually. You know, clearly, it's not a one-size-fits-all solution, and we've been, you know, nuancing and finessing our guidance for the different sectors and getting a lot of plaudits from those partners that we've been dealing with, you know, showing them how they can best support blind and partially sighted people.
I suppose the gyms is quite appropriate because we are going to talk about fundraising. And for many of us, including yourself and myself, we are taking part in Marathon Mates, and I make no apology for talking about it each week because it is a vital fundraiser for RNIB. And we're going to talk about the big jump in a moment as well. But how's the Marathon Mates training going?
No, it's going, Alan, certainly. I mean, I think I might have suggested that you and I had managed to retain our elite London Marathon entries last week. And I think that was probably in jest, quite rightly, because I don't think you and I would get round the London Marathon and we'll let the fast guys do that and the fast ladies do that. But no, Marathon Mates, you know, it's a great initiative, builds on our Double Dash from last year and generating funds for us and for all the great causes that we support and the great operations that we deliver. You need to sign up with a partner. That's the mate concept. And between you, you run 26 miles over the 30 days of September. So ultimately, it's not too onerous. You don't need to be an Olympic athlete to do it. But hopefully, you know, you get a sense of achievement, bit of fun, do it with a mate. You know, as an organization, we'll have a lot of energy and focus on it during September through, you know, social media and internal comms and external comms to raise some money. Yeah.
We will give the details in just a moment, Matt. I kind of thought to myself, I would rather throw myself out of a plane in a big jump than do the 13.1 miles, half it with someone. But there you go. But great that that's back as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like all our face-to-face fundraising activity, you know, things like, you know, running, cycling, you know, have been too difficult to do. They've been cancelled, postponed. So, you know, there's been a bit of a vacuum there, really, hasn't there? But, no, delighted that you're allowed to jump with somebody. That seems to be okay. So, yeah, the big jump is back this autumn. I think it's in September. And if you don't fancy, you know, 26 miles between you and a mate, and you fancy, you know, 10,000 feet down, then please, you know, look at the big jump. I haven't signed up myself, Alan. Yeah, I think I need to have a think about it before I submit, maybe next year.
I think the fact that I'm blind might make it easier just to throw myself out the plane. That's why I see as the positive for it, but not this year. I will definitely do the Marathon Mates. And if you would like more information on Marathon Mates, the big jump, RNIB services, whole load of information for you, please do call the helpline on 0303 123 9999. Lines are open Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. or go to the website rnib.org.uk. Matt, thanks once again for joining us. We'll catch up with you again next week here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much, Alan.